Today's guest, Chris Kelly, an attorney, was the executive vice president of Home Services of America, which owns Berkshire Hathaway Home Services and Real Living Real Estate Franchise Networks. They also own mortgage companies, settlement services providers, insurance companies, corporate relocation, and affiliated businesses. So Chris Kelly was the executive vice president, but they fired him and made him president and CEO. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Chris Kelly.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you being on.
Now, this is a hell of a promotion.
Well, yeah, it was a pleasant surprise, and happy to be in the role and been part of the organization since 2007, in a lot of different roles. So I've kind of seen everything from the top to the bottom, and it's been a fairly easy transition, thankfully.
Well, this is the third time you've been on the program, and you've always been very nice to respond to me, but it took a little longer this time to find some free time for you, so you must be a lot busier.
They're keeping me on the run a little bit and being out and about with our companies and all of our people, and so I appreciate you being flexible and giving me some options to choose from.
Well, always good to talk to you. Now, is Warren Buffett calling in, or are we calling him?
Yeah, hopefully his cell number came through to you on your text message.
And then, we'll keep trying him. Do you ever, over the years, do you ever have any reason to interact with Warren Buffett?
You know, not on any type of regular occasion. We do interact with Greg Abel, who was recently named as his successor here at the end of the year. And Greg used to be on our board before he kind of took on some additional responsibilities and roles within Berkshire Hathaway. And so that's typically who we had normally worked with at the Berkshire level would be through Greg Abel.
Now, this company, Home Services of America, was this a going concern prior to Berkshire Hathaway Home Services becoming into existence?
No, it's Home Services was founded in 1998. As a kind of a collection of other real estate brokerages, and was kind of growing organically that way for a number of years. And then in 2012, Home Services bought what was then the Prudential Real Estate Franchise Network, and then rebranded it to Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. So Home Services was the original company, bought the Prudential Franchise Network in 2012, and then did a rebrand of it. And that's kind of how everything came into existence.
Well, I can take that very personally because, of course, in Santa Barbara's history, I started in 1988, and there was no Prudential. There was Sunset, and I think Sunset might have become Prudential. And then Prudential became Berkshire. That was in 2012. But was Home Services of America always under some umbrella of Berkshire Hathaway?
Not originally. So Home Services in 1998 was independent. And then in 2000, it was acquired by what was then called Mid-American Energy. And that sounds a little weird why an energy company would buy a real estate company. But one of our founding companies was Iowa Realty. And it was in the era of deregulated energy. And the thought was if you controlled the real estate process, you could more easily get a consumer to sign up for the energy provider that you were wanting them to pick. And so that's how it came to be. The model didn't really ever work, but we were part of Mid-American Energy, and then Berkshire Hathaway bought Mid-American Energy, and the real estate company just kind of came along for it. In fact, some of the kind of jokey headlines at the time was, you know, Warren Buffett buys an energy company and unknowingly gets a real estate company to come, you know, along with it. So it's kind of a funny story and kind of a weird way that we came about, but that's how it happened.
It's interesting. My guest, Chris Kelly, who is recently was made the president and CEO of Home Services of America. Now, it's interesting because you mentioned all these ancillary businesses and, you know, I guess clients, customers, people, it's good to be able to offer them options, maybe in some areas of the country. Like, for example, in Santa Barbara, you know, we have Chicago Title and First American Title, that's it. But maybe some areas of the country, there's not a lot of title companies, and you have a settlement services providers that you can offer?
Yeah, so what we have found is the vast majority of consumers, and almost increasingly every year, are looking for a simpler way to transact real estate, right? You know, there's a lot of moving parts, as you know, with being an expert in the field, and a lot of disparate parties and companies have to come together to pull off a successful transaction. And so our model is, if we can provide more of the services under one roof as part of one team, we believe that we can make that transaction simpler and more efficient and more seamless for the consumer. And so, you know, we compete against a lot of other, you know, the stalwarts in the mortgage world or title and insurance world. But when we have the chance to give the consumer the experience of having everything under one roof, we think we can do a better job.
Well, it's a benefit. I used to work with Coldwell Banker, and they had an in-house mortgage broker. And we have that now locally, Santa Barbara area, with Berkshire Hathaway. And we have home warranty, and we have homeowners insurance. And I'm sure they have clients outside of Berkshire Hathaway, but it's just good that they're kind of working a little extra hard. And it's a good resource to choose. You could always give someone a couple of mortgage brokers and let them decide, two or three. So, but that's good. You know, so you know, real estate is so local. So I guess one of the questions I was going to ask you is, you know, we have a management staff, everything seems to run, but you're way at the top. You're an orchestra leader. So what are you doing for me? Why am I paying your salary?
Well, I do work for you. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And so really what my job is to make sure that we are, as an organization, that we are positioning ourselves to provide you the resources to do your job in a more efficient manner as well, too. And so that does mean surrounding you with the right team that you need in order to do your real estate career. You know, we're constantly looking at evolving the tools and the technologies that we offer to our agents and to our consumers based on the changing needs and the different ways that you guys are doing business in this era. And then, you know, and then make sure that we're providing you a platform to do your business as well. And so I think a lot of people are surprised about how heavily regulated the real estate industry is, whether that's at a local, state, or even federal level, the myriad of laws and regulations and statutes that apply to our business. And so part of what we do is to hopefully take that headache off of your plate so that you can just focus on providing great customer experience and tending to your clients' needs, and we can take care of all the other stuff that would just otherwise be a distraction to your business. And that's kind of how we go about it.
My guest is Chris Kelly. He's the president and CEO of Home Services of America, which owns, among other things, a Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. And I wanted to make that joke, but we kind of answered the question almost beforehand with all the ancillary services. And but one thing you mentioned about tools, of course, is advertising. And we just have we have a huge advertising branch within our office. It's just remarkable. And that's going to help sellers and, in the end, buyers as well. So we're in California, everything's local, and you're across the entire country. What's your view of the fundamentals of the real estate market? You know, what's the health of, how do U.S. homeowners stand today?
Yeah, so the good thing is because a lot of folks want to compare today to see, you know, is this like 2007, 8, and 9? Is there a bubble about to burst? And, you know, and the main thing that we always like to point out is that yes, we've had certainly massive price appreciation over the last, let's say, 5 or 6 years, but we also have massive equity in our homes. And so if you go back to 2008, the biggest marker that really was the thing that folks were struggling with was that, you know, the debt that was owed on U.S. homes outpaced what the actual equity was. And today we have record equity. In fact, there's $35 trillion of equity across all U.S. homeowners right now. So the health of the U.S. homeowner is really, really good. What we're seeing is really just kind of basic fundamentals on why the market still remains a little bit sluggish in most areas of the country. And that is simply because of interest rates and other macroeconomic issues that are going on. Obviously, we saw some pretty significant things over the weekend from a political standpoint. That has impacts on the financial markets. It keeps rates a little bit more elevated than where a lot of people want to jump into the market at. And so unlike 2007 and 8, where we saw massive unemployment and other really bad economic conditions, here most of housing is just simply being driven by a rate environment. We've seen improved inventory, which is really good for buyers right now. We're seeing more inventory across the country. You just still have some fence sitters waiting to see what's going to happen with mortgage rates. Will they come back down a little bit? I hope everyone is dispelled of the notion that they're ever going to get back down to 3 or 4% unless there is a massive calamity out there. But I think folks are hoping if they get back into the low sixes, high fives, we will definitely see demand pick up.
Right. And historically, that would be great. And I'm glad you mentioned that because, I don't see anyone predicting going back into those crazy rates. My guest, President and CEO of Home Services of America, Chris Kelly, we have more inventory finally. Historically, still probably a seller's market, but this last week, for the week ending June 20th here in the South Coast, 290 listings that are not in escrow. And last year at this time it was 203, and the year before that, and the 3 years before that, it was 150 plus or one or two. So now we're not back in the 400s, and not back in 2007 when you had 615 listings were on the market at the end of June in 2008. 615, today 290. But at least we're getting better than we have been since 2019. So that's good. And it's interesting that you're seeing that nationally as well. You mentioned sluggish. When you say sluggish, are you talking about basically the number of sales or price?
Yeah, so price is actually holding up pretty steady. And thankfully, what we're seeing in that department is that, we're not seeing 10 to 12% price increases right now, which is a thing, right? Like, sellers love it, but I certainly was always nervous the entire time, what is this going to mean long term? So we're still seeing price appreciation, but back to, let's say, normalized levels, 2 to 3%, again, from a national perspective. And really, when I talk sluggish, it is really about sales. It's just the number of sales. Right now, the current prediction is that we will see somewhere between 3.9 and 4 million existing home sales in 2025, which, is about a million under what a normal year is, 4.9 to 5 million. And so we're running, still behind that in kind of another year like 2024. So it's really on the home sales side. Home prices are remaining, pretty firm. And we're not seeing, other than maybe a few areas in Texas and Florida that really saw crazy price appreciation because of the pandemic, you're seeing a little bit of price depreciation there, but it's very, very pocketed.
With Santa Barbara, year to date, almost 6 months of the year, we're up 13% higher for the South Coast in the number of sales. And last year, 2024, was up 18% compared to 2023. But 2023 was down 35%. So at least, at least though, we're going a little bit, in the last 2 years, we're seeing a little bit of a uptick in the number of sales, which is nice.
Yeah, and certainly in markets like in Santa Barbara would be one of these where it's a little bit of a rate, let's say less rate sensitive market, where the average buyer, they may be getting a mortgage, but they're also putting down significant amount of cash, or it might be a pure cash buy. In markets like that, you're not seeing, nearly, let's say, the impact in maybe other markets and price points where, someone's financing, let's say, anywhere from 80 to 90% of the purchase price. So the higher end market is certainly been much more resilient because it's just not as rate sensitive of a consumer.
Very, very good point. My guest, Chris Kelly, he's president and CEO of Home Services of America, which owns, among other things, a Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. And we are having trouble getting Warren Buffett on the line, but we'll keep trying. We'll keep trying. Maybe that number keeps going to voicemail. In looking back, and I was through the market, I started in 88, and the market was kind of hot. And then it hit the 90s, and it was really a downturn for a long time. And then it picked back up. 2003 was a big difference from the 90s. But then really, as you mentioned, 2005, 6, 7, and you pointed out the interesting distinction between 08 and today. But, 2016, pre-COVID, boy, the market was heating up. And everyone kept saying, we're due for a correction, not to drop off the cliff, but just a correction. And then COVID happened. Why did COVID have such a huge impact on property values?
Well, I think, again, going back to mortgage rates, right? And so really what I think happened when we look at, like, let's say the sluggish numbers that we have now, really what happened was is we pulled forward a bunch of demand, right? So you would see the normal cyclical home sales that would happen every year. And when mortgages get down to 3% and 2% in places like, and you know, really just out of the norm, once in a lifetime type mortgage rates, what we ended up doing was just pulling forward so much demand. People that may have not have bought or sold or moved over a 2 or 3 year window almost felt compelled to do so. You also saw a lot of people buying second homes. You saw investment properties kind of skyrocket as well, both from just individual investors, mom and pops, also to large scale investors. Everyone was trying to get into housing at that point and stuff. And so it was, again, almost like kind of a rate frenzy took place where, you know, you had a cocktail party and it was like, are you at 3%? Oh, I got a 2.75. It was like, you know, a matter of pride. And so we were, you know, we were paying the impacts of that a little bit over the back half of 22, 23, 24, and certainly now into 25 as well, because so much of that demand was pulled forward.
You know, good answer. And you kind of answered it earlier when you mentioned the low interest rates. And I didn't have it in my head to put together that COVID impacted the interest rates, which therefore impacted the real estate market. My guest, Chris Kelly, president and CEO of Home Services of America, owns, among other companies, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services. When you first came on, we're coming up on 1 year, August 2024, when we had the biggest change in real estate, maybe ever, and when all multiple listing services, MLSs, across the country stopped offering a commission to the buyer's agent. And it was like, oh, and people will say, oh, so we don't have to pay a commission anymore? And it was that education of, well, we don't advertise it in MLS, and I don't know what's happening across the country. It seems like in the South Coast, sellers for almost, I mean, I don't want to give a percentage, but for the most part are still offering to pay a buyer's agent commission. Do you guys track this? What do you see the impact on this change as we're coming up to a one-year anniversary?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we obviously know what the average commission rate charged is, you know, from our different companies. And the interesting thing was, is before even going into this, right, the commissions varied pretty greatly from market to market. You know, so what would be an average commission in California by one of our companies to what is a commission that was charged by one of our companies in, you know, Mobile, Alabama? There was variance across the country based on different market norms. And so what we've seen is with compensation not being in the MLS, it's just required, which I think actually was a positive thing for professionals such as yourself, to have conversations with buyers earlier on in the process. So the buyer understands, I think, the mechanics of the commission more, right? Sellers are still absolutely free to offer to pay the a commission to the buyer for the buyer to kind of apply toward the buyer's agent fees that they may incur. Or they don't have to do it, right? It's up to them on whether they want to do that. As you noted, most sellers are absolutely still seeing the value proposition and what a realtor brings to a transaction and the professionalism that occurs, the transaction running more smoothly. And so they have still seen the value in offering a brokerage commission to be paid to the buyer's agent. 70% of all sellers also become buyers. So they understand that, you know, they're, as soon as they sell this house, they're going to be on the flip side of that as a buyer themselves. And they're just seeing the value of having multiple professionals involved in the real estate transaction. And so I believe that from the beginning. I did not ever believe in the lawsuit that real estate professionals were involved in transactions simply because of the MLS compensation. And I think the simplest answer is the consumer sees value in what our industry provides. And I think that's kind of bearing out in what we've seen since August of last year with the rule changes.
Not a big shift. And just California especially, you know, sellers always had the option not to pay a buyer's agent commission.
Correct.
There was, right? Maybe not as much in other states and maybe where this original lawsuit was brought. I've heard said that if it was brought in California, it wouldn't have gone anywhere because We were also already doing disclosures, and there were options for sellers not to go into MLS and or not to pay, you know, as much a commission. So that's very interesting. And there was something else I was going to mention, something you said, but that's gone. My guest, Chris Kelly, President and CEO, Home Services of America. Do you see any big changes for the rest of 2025? You said you hoping to see interest rates maybe, you know, stay in the low, go low sixes or fives. I don't know what to do with my timeshare in Tehran. But
I think we're probably at this point in the year, barring, and I always say barring other significant changes, because we can't control global politics and everything else that happens, you know, the back half of 25 will likely look not that indifferent than the front half of 25. You know, based on the comments from Jerome Powell and the Fed this past week when they met, there still could be a one, maybe two rate cuts much later in the year. Not going to happen in any in the summer sessions, it doesn't appear. And, you know, so that could have a slight impact, but they're certainly waiting to see if tariffs are going to have any impact on inflation before they make any adjustments. And so I think rates will largely stay pretty close to where they are right now in that mid to high six range, depending on what may be happening in any given week. If there are some cuts to the Fed, you know, from the Fed funds rate, which could impact the 10-year treasury, you know, again, we could see rates kind of maybe towards the end of the year kind of get back into that, let's say, lower six range, which certainly would help kind of spur on some activity as we head into 26. But it feels like, you know, how we've kind of experienced 25 is likely to kind of continue for the balance of the year.
Sounds like what I'm hearing from economists. My guest today has been Chris Kelly, a president and CEO, Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, who he's been with since 2007, and almost from the start of the company. And I so appreciate you carving out some time. And for some reason, we could not get Warren Buffett on the phone. So please, when you next see him, tell him I said hi.
You got maybe when he's retired, he'll have some more time.
He's coming up.
We'll keep
he's
an
coming
eye
up.
On it.
Did you know his partner who lived in Santa Barbara? Whose name?
Oh, Mr. Munger, yeah.
Charlie Munger, yeah, yeah. He was had quite a presence here. Chris Kelly, thank you so much for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you next time.
Thanks. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Chris Kelly, CEO and President, Home Services of America. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. When can a landlord charge more than 1 month security deposit? Stay tuned. You'll find out.